Hello, lesbian land, and of course any of you other fine folks listening in. Thanks for tuning in to the very first Music for Your Soul podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Cooperrider. For this first show, I wanted to start out by taking a look at what you might consider our musical roots. My first guest is longtime local musician Donna McGavro. She's been working the Columbus, Ohio music scene for decades. She agreed to sit down with me to have a chat about her and her music, and at the end, we've got one of her original songs for you to fall in love with. So in appreciation of our lesbian musical heritage, let's kick it off with a classic lesbian folk rocker. Have a listen. Okay, I'm sitting here with Donna McGavro. She's a local musician here in Columbus, Ohio. How are you tonight, Donna?
I'm very good, Sarah. And yourself?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you so much for having this sit down with me. I'm really glad to have you on my very first show.
Well, I'm honored that you thought of me for your very first show.
You were actually...
Somebody has to go first.
Right. You were actually the first person I thought of. You have been around the music scene here for quite a while. And I thought that it would be really cool to have you on the show and introduce some new audiences to your music. So for those that are just hearing about you for the first time, how would you describe your musical style?
My musical style has been pretty diverse throughout my years, but I would say that I am a acoustic-based singer-songwriter with... folk, country, rock, flair.
Nice. I like that. All right. Is there any particular individual or anything like that that was a main inspiration for you, or where do you draw your inspirations from?
Well, I am a child of the 70s, mm-hmm. So my first big influences were female singers. Mm-hmm. Such as Linda Ronstadt, mm-hmm. Joni Mitchell was huge, Bonnie Raitt.
Oh yeah, I love her.
Back in the 70s, and I just, when I started, you know, Joni Mitchell has to have been probably the biggest influence on me, as far as, even though I could never replicate or even attempt... Well, I've attempted, but failed attempts of when you listen to people that you admire and their songwriting, you know, because she was such a different type of songwriter, mm-hmm. you know. All her songs tell stories, and I liked that.
Yeah.
And she never followed a formula, mm-hmm. you know, so she wasn't, you know, the ABC type of writer. So she was really influential for me in saying that, see, you can write just about anything you want, but it does have to have some kind of cohesiveness to it.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's where I probably started with that line of thinking.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't start out as a songwriter,
mm-hmm.
I wanted to be a player.
Okay.
So, playing guitar was very important to me.
Okay.
And being able to play it well.
Yeah. How would you say those influences have changed over the years? Do you find yourself sticking to that same inspiration that you got back with Joni Mitchell, or do you find that there's different things now that are inspiring you in different ways?
Well, if you listen to Joni Mitchell, and if you listen to her, the way she plays guitar, what people are doing today,
mm-hmm.
she already did it.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The tapping, the hitting, open tunings, she pretty much had the market on that.
Okay.
In my
opinion.
I guess
that makes sense, yeah. If you have the market on it, it transcends the
years. And I just, you know, I always, you know, I'm a roots kind of person. Nothing inspires me more than just going back when I feel, you know, in a cauldron of blah and not inspired to do anything. I go back and listen to the people that inspired me.
Mm-hmm.
Who are more my peers. You know, I'm not trying to recapture or capture what the young people are doing today. Because mm-hmm. there's nothing original anymore. And these people back then, they were the originals.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
They were.
They were. They really were. Yeah, it is surprising to see a lack of that originality so much in today's music. It seems like everything is just so manufactured.
Well, it's manufactured, and it's just, you know, and I hear singers, and it's like everybody, I heard a young singer today who's actually going to be in town this week at Woodlands, and I was listening to her, and I was like, someone's listened to Sean Colvin.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and, you know, it's so generic.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of the music coming out today, it's just very generic.
Would you say it lacks soul?
No, I wouldn't say it lacks soul, because I think that people do write and sing from their soul and their heart. Mm-hmm. So it does have soul.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. All right. Good answer. How long have you been playing music? Whether starting out, you said you wanted to be a musician more so than you were a songwriter originally. How long did you start that? How long ago?
Well, I started when I was 14 years old.
Okay.
And I was professional by the time I was 18.
Wow.
And, of course, that was, you know, I went to college down in OU, Ohio oh. University in Athens, Ohio.
That is a very popular
music. I didn't go there to study music. It was just, I was just doing music for fun.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah.
Why not?
But, you know, then people start paying you, and it just kind of roller coastered on from there, you know, and
yeah.
snowballed. And, you know, like I said, I started off, you know, I played, you know, cover music. I played country music. I've played jazz music. I've mm-hmm. played a lot of rock music and a lot of the older styles.
Yeah.
Okay. Music genres.
Yeah.
That is so cool that young people today do listen to.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. see, again, people do like to go back to the roots.
Absolutely. I mean, I have friends that I've met that are 18, 19 years old, and some of their favorite bands are Led Zeppelin or Rolling Stones or, you know,
right.
the classics.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, people that actually write real lyrics and
tell stories.
Play.
Yeah.
Their instruments.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So you said that you were doing it professionally at 18 then?
Yeah.
That's really amazing.
So I have 4 decades
wow.
of this.
That's amazing.
So now you know how old I am.
Now, if I may, I know over the course of that time, you didn't just do music. You also had a stint working with a local radio station, didn't you?
Right.
Yeah.
I've always done music.
You've always... Well, yeah.
I never had a day job.
Oh, really? Okay, that's right. You did say that to me once before.
Never had a day job.
Okay. So was it just that you were affiliated with them and just...
I had a radio show on what is now CD-102.
Right,
CD-101.
CD-101 back then, yeah.
And it was in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. I vaguely remember that show. Mm-hmm.
It was on Sunday mornings, the Acoustic Coffee House.
Okay, yes. I totally remember Acoustic Coffee House, now that you say the name of that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I remember listening to that. That's really cool to have that memory from back then.
So that was fun.
Yeah, that was really fun. I just wanted to bring that up because I wanted to point out, you know, you've had a bit of an influence over the music scene in our city for quite some time, whether you were being a DJ and having a radio show or whether you were actually playing different shows around town.
Well, there's never really been... There was not a lot of women in Columbus playing music.
Absolutely.
You know, up until... Oh, gosh. I would say starting, you know, in the 2000s, you know... There was only a handful of us, and it was a small handful.
Yeah.
Of us playing music.
How would you say that's grown or changed since then?
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Because now everybody wants to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
I do love that about the Columbus scene. It seems like there are so many stages that are willing and welcoming to new people playing. And even if you're just a beginner, it seems like there's a lot of people that encourage you to get out there and just do it.
Right. And when I was young and upcoming, all our open mics were held in church basements at coffee houses. And there was one vegetarian restaurant in town that would have an open mic night. One.
Wow.
And so there wasn't a lot of that going on. So we would do that. But, yeah, and I, you know, women coffee houses. There was, like, one coffee house here in Columbus down on King Avenue for a while. And, but there wasn't a whole lot of that. So, I mean, that's a good thing. You know, the open mics, because you have to have a place outside of your bedroom to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, being a woman, being a minority basically then in the music scene, you had an additional distinction of, at some point in your time, of being born until now, you also came out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how would you identify? Do you identify as lesbian?
Yes.
Okay. How did that affect things? When did you come out in your career, or was that before your career? How did that affect things?
You know, I have been accused of being a closeted lesbian for a long time.
Aren't we all?
But, you know, I mean, I was married to a very fabulous guy, and we have a daughter together,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I always would have to say I've always been female identified,
mm-hmm.
you know. Most of my friends have always been lesbians, and, you know, I've just always was very open that way. And a lot, my following, you know, they followed me.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was because I'm a very earthy type of person, mm-hmm. woman, I mean, I didn't even, you know, shave my legs or my armpits for a long time. And people would affiliate you as a lesbian
mm-hmm.
just because of that. But really it was more of a hippie, earthy type of, you know, statement for me,
mm-hmm.
you know. But, you know, when people would see a woman standing up there playing guitar and she doesn't shave her armpits, you know, oh, she must be gay. And look at her audience, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I had that, you know, people whispers about me for a long time, even though I was married to a man. And they even knew that, but whatever. And, but I came out, in the early 2000s, when I reconnected with an old lesbian female musician that I'd known in college.
Oh, cool. So awesome.
She was always my secret.
Oh.
She was the first woman that I'd ever kissed.
Oh.
When I was in college, and always in the back of my mind, you know, for over 20-some years, I looked for her in the women's Aww. Music circuit, thinking yeah. she'd have to surface somewhere, and always knew I'd be in trouble if she ever did. And she did, and it happened. So
the rest is history there.
The rest is history, and no.
But you currently have...
Yes, I am married
now. Okay, yes, you are married now, so you have a loving, supportive partner.
5 years.
That's fantastic. Yeah. She's really awesome.
She is.
How does she... How would you say she best contributes towards your sanity in the music world?
Well, she's very real, and she's, you know, she's very supportive.
Yeah.
You know?
That's good.
And she supports what I do.
Yeah, I've seen
And her she did shows. Not, you know, we did not meet on a Donna McGavro, the musician, appeal.
Mm-hmm.
I met her at, you know, at a party somewhere, you know, and... She was not like a starstruck Donna McGavro fan or follower.
Right. Right. That's nice. So you got to meet on that real level instead of wondering.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. Awesome. So was there ever a point that I know you said that you never had a real day job. So was there ever a point, well, you know what I mean. Was there ever a point where you felt compelled to walk away from music, or where you had to take a hiatus, or anything like that? And if so, what kind of made you bounce back from that?
Well, when I was young, in my 20s, I used to say, okay, if I haven't, quote unquote, made it, by the time I'm 25, I'm doing something else. Then 25 would come around and go, okay, if I haven't, quote unquote, made it, you know, at 30, I'm getting out of this. But things just kept rolling for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to play so many shows. I did so many things. I got, you know, opening act spots, sharing bills with fabulous, you know, people kept supporting me. They kept, you know, I had a lot of support, you know, rolling me along. And, you know, it was fabulous. Columbus was wonderful to me,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, you know, when you have people that believe in you.
Yeah.
You know.
That's awesome.
Continually. So, and I had a friend that one time, I threatened to, you know, move to Nashville or, you know, out of Columbus. And, you know, and she said to me, I'll never forget it. She said, well, why can't Columbus have a, you know, why can't you be famous here in Columbus? You know, why isn't that good enough for you?
Mm-hmm.
And that stuck with me. And I went, you know, and it is true. You need to be able to make a lot of noise in your own hometown
mm-hmm.
before people outside of your hometown are going to look at notice you.
Hmm. That's a good point.
And it's very real.
That makes a lot of sense, too.
Yeah.
Because if you're not making noise in your hometown, how are people supposed to
exactly.
hear about you?
Right.
That's a good point. So, do you do much within the community these days? I know you do a lot of regular shows. Do you ever do any kind of charity events or work with the local radio stations nowadays or do anything like that?
Well, I do. I have my charity events.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always up for a cause.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I have to be very careful.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've done things for Stonewall. You know, I've marched in Take Back the Nights, and which we don't have anymore, sadly. But, you know, people know that they can call on me.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just curious because I know over the years there's just been a lot of different types of events, like you were just saying, the different Stonewall events. I was just kind of looking, you know, to see what kind of historical things have happened over the years that you've been able to be a part of. So it sounds like you've been able to do quite a few of those charity events.
Oh,
but
many.
Yeah, that's really good. I keep looking for more ways to get involved, but it's a good point that you say you have to be careful. It seems like you start in volunteering for different charities and then they all want you to volunteer and then you have to pick and choose and then you don't know which ones you can spend
right.
time with.
Yeah, and, I mean, yeah. I just turned down a free event, you know, because I'm a professional.
Yeah.
You can't just always give your art away.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
this was not a benefit for mm-hmm. anything. It's an event that a coffee house has,
mm-hmm.
I think one Sunday a month or something like that. And, I have to say no sometimes.
Yeah. I think people forget that, you know, as musicians, this is the way we earn our living. This is the way we put food on our tables. This is the way we pay our rent. And so even though we would love to do these charity things, we can't always expend our time and energy in that way.
Well, you know, if you aren't making a living playing music
mm-hmm.
and you have a paycheck coming in somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
then yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Do all that you can
absolutely
to help whomever needs help.
Yeah, I've heard of bands that were made up of like executives from different corporate companies around the city. There's one particular band and all they do is charities.
Mm-hmm.
They only do charity events and they draw a huge crowd every time.
And it's awesome.
Yeah,
you
it's
know,
really awesome.
When you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have that luxury.
Yeah.
I could. I suppose. I might be looking at that somewhere in my near future.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think it's always... I think we always kind of notice ways in which our communities can be improved, and I feel mm-hmm. like we're kind of naturally guided towards those charities where we feel we can best benefit the communities. Yes. So that's awesome. Okay, so you've been around the music scene for decades, you've done it all, you've gone lots of places, you've put out a lot of music. Where are you going from here? Do you have a plan for the future? Where do you see your music going?
I'm not chasing it anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm really happy playing here in Columbus. Mm-hmm. Columbus has been very good to me.
Yeah.
I've been all over. I have roots here. And I am married now. Yeah. I have a family. And I'm very content playing music here.
That's awesome.
You know.
That's really good. That's not something that a lot of people can say, that they've been able to live a life of music and now they've gotten to the point where they have their family, they're settled, like you said, and they're content. That's a pretty enviable quality there. Mm-hmm. That's really awesome to say.
I would like to record again. Mm-hmm. I haven't put anything out recording-wise since 2002.
Oh, really?
And I have enough material to put out at least two more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that takes a lot of money.
Yeah.
To really do it right.
Yeah.
You know, it is costly. And, you know, because I'm not seeking a music career in the singer-songwriter world,
mm-hmm.
You know, I would just probably do it and, you know, make, you know, not, instead, you know, you don't make 1,000 CDs. I'm not,
right.
You know what I'm saying? So you can record and just get, you know, a couple hundred of them made.
Absolutely.
You know, and I would like to do that again. The studio has just been one thing for me that I've always been afraid of.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
It's, for me, that's always been the scariest place to be. Because it's so raw. And it's so real.
Yeah, it really is.
You know, I mean, even though you can say stop...
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I recently had my first experience with being in an actual studio, and it is very real, and you don't think about how you're going to feel in that space when you're trying to sing with that soul and that emotion.
Right.
And that power behind it. It was a very interesting experience to have to be in there and to realize it's a very different space.
Well, and you have to remember that, you know, you're recording. This is the way this goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have to really know the material.
Absolutely.
Really know it. Know how you want to sing it. You know, and if you're going to be putting harmonies on that,
mm-hmm.
you have to sing it, the melody line, properly.
Yeah.
So that you can harmonize on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yeah, that's just, you know, that's always been my worst fear.
Yeah. Well... I hope
it costs money.
Yeah, it does.
You know, so
and you don't want to waste money on something that you're not happy about. Very
exactly.
true.
Exactly. Right.
Very true. Well, I hope that we get to hear some more Donna McGavro new music on some recorded media. That'd be nice to have around. So, you know, you told us about your style and described what it's like. Is there any particular message or theme or concept that you hope that your music says to people, or any particular advice or anything?
Well, you like never that. Know what your music is, how your music is going to affect people.
True.
You never know what, you know, what songs people are going to pick out of those 12, 10, mm-hmm. whatever, how many, but you know, that go, this one really spoke to me.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm always amazed.
Yeah.
At which songs people go, wow, you mm-hmm. know, I really connected with that song.
Yeah.
You know. All my songs are pretty much personal experience based, written,
mm-hmm.
and just watching human behavior.
Yeah.
I've never been one of those songwriters that could, like, well, you know, I'm not a political writer, you know, so I've never been, like, you know, a Pete Seeger type of writer either, you know. And I've never really thought of myself as prolific by any means, you know. I do write, you know. Writing has always been my first love. Journaling, whatever it would be. Just writing thoughts down, because I was always one of those people who's like, oh my God, you got to get it out of your head to make room for more.
Yeah.
You know, so if it's on paper, you know, at least you get it out of here, put it down here, and there's like room for more stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of like the waves on the sand, you know, it comes up and washes out and comes up and washes out, you know.
That's really good advice, too, for other people to keep that in mind. I know my thoughts are always racing, so I keep trying to write down. I'm working on that. It's difficult.
A racing mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And trying to take the time to actually write it down. And it can be difficult, especially in trying to write songs. You know, if you've got too much clutter in there, you can't always focus on writing.
Right. Well, you know, even if it's just a sentence, you know, or paragraph or whatever, you know, now we have these phones.
Yeah.
That no matter where we are, you know, you can always click record, and you can, you know, you can record the melody along with a line and have that, you know, to go back, fall back on.
Yeah, I've actually done that and bookmarked, so to speak, songs for myself.
But, you know, in the old days, all we, you know, you had to carry around a piece of paper and a pencil.
And hope you remembered it.
And hope, you know, and write. Yeah. Exactly, hope you remember it, you know. Or get home and go, now, what was I going to, how was I going to sing this, you know? So we have so many tools.
Yeah, we really do.
To work with.
Do you have any advice, being someone with your years of experience in the industry, do you have any advice for any up-and-coming lesbians or anybody that's out in their music or maybe nervous about being out in their music?
Well, I don't, you know, there's no reason to be nervous because you have a lot of support.
Yeah.
You know, so as far as like being gay out in the community playing music, I don't see why anybody would be nervous.
Yeah.
We have a, you know.
Yeah, especially here we seem to have a pretty good.
Yeah.
A good support system.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think that's happening everywhere. Unfortunately, there is still homophobia in alive and well.
Yeah.
And even in Columbus, Ohio. And I know personally that I have not been asked back to certain venues because of my large gay following.
Really?
And I won't mention any names.
Right.
But, yeah.
Huh. Wow. I didn't even realize that was still going on around here.
Yes, it is.
Well, I guess it just goes to show that you're always going to have those sections of people and those, you know.
And I don't even, I don't want to play with for those people either.
And you know what? That's exactly the point. That's not your audience.
Mm-mm.
Go where your audience is.
Well, no, it's not the audience. It's the venue.
Oh.
You know, when, you know, a venue books you and you bring in
A certain crowd.
You pack the place with lesbians who have a lot of money to spend, and they spend a lot of money in that venue, and that venue does not want you back. That's sad.
That is sad.
And I'm like, I don't want to work for you people.
That doesn't make sense.
That doesn't make sense.
That's not good business.
But, you know, the beautiful thing is that there's still, you know, they, other people will play, can
absolutely
play. We've got, you can pick
for
anyone.
For every venue that says we don't want you, there's always some, another venue.
Exactly.
Always
you
another
just
venue.
Go somewhere else.
Exactly. That's really good advice. Just find find someplace else.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's That's always nice. Somewhere else.
Definitely. Well, I've really enjoyed our conversation. Is there anything else that you would like to talk about as far as your career, your music, anything that you'd like listeners to know about you or any fun facts?
Well, I know that you can go to, my music is on iTunes.
Absolutely.
If you want to download it.
Absolutely, yeah. So we'll make sure that we have a little snippet here at the end of the podcast.
I am with CD Baby, and, you know, my stuff is on iTunes, and I'm going to get it on Pandora.
Oh, yeah. Get it on Pandora. Mm-hmm. I hear it's not that difficult, I don't think.
Yeah, well, somebody I just did a radio interview not too long ago with someone else, so they were like, you have to get your music on Pandora. I'm like,
absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. That'll get a lot more exposure, too.
You know, but, you know, I just hope maybe I can, and when you're working a lot, you know, to go record is just exhausting, mm-hmm. you know, so I work a lot, and which is a good thing. You know, it's good to be working.
Yes.
And I know people, you know, I've been asked a lot, well, how do you get gigs? You know, how do you do this? How do you, you know, get people, you know, well, practice. You know, and I can, you know, for me, it was the thing of like, if I'm putting a lot of energy into making money for someone else, I'm not putting that energy into my own business. Mm-hmm. So there's something that you can think about. And I know that it's not easy in this day and age. It just seemed like it was so much easier 30 years ago, you know, because the industry is so saturated.
Yeah.
You know, but you have to be willing, and you can do it. Mm-hmm. Get in your car and go.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have a safety net, a financial safety net. And so I do have that. Mm-hmm. But I'm just not interested in chasing it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I'm older now. And
I think you're allowed to feel that way.
Yeah. I
think that's okay.
I'm not doing 10 to 2s anymore.
Yeah.
And I believe, you know, I've had a gift.
Yeah, you really have.
You know. Really. But I worked really hard at it.
And I think that's actually the key right there is that, you know, a lot of people think that, oh, you have a gift, that must mean it comes naturally to you and everything's a breeze. And no, you actually have to work. It is hard work.
I Everything worked six it. Nights a week, seven nights a week, all the time. I raised a child doing it.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be out playing all week long. I get up and get that child to school, mm-hmm. you know.
Sometimes not getting home from gigs until 2-3 in the morning.
Absolutely. And, you know, and then I practice all day long while mm-hmm. she's at school, you know. And like I said, we didn't have the internet mm-hmm. for, you know, a good chunk of my time.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have that.
Yeah, there's a lot of potential for people to just, if they put in a little extra hard work, mm-hmm. there's so much potential to be able to utilize all of the tools that we have these days.
It is. The tools are amazing, and it's fabulous. It is technology. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people can record in their own home. I'm old school, and I probably wouldn't do that. I'd still want to pay somebody to go into a studio.
Yeah.
You know, because there is a difference.
Yeah. I mean, these people have been going to school and have been doing this as their profession. Like, mm-hmm. that's all they do. So, yeah. I think that I would probably prefer having someone else do it.
Yeah. Right. I mean, there you go. There's somebody's got a job.
Yeah, there you go. You know? I'm giving someone else job security. That's what
exactly.
Right. Awesome. Well, we do have a song that we're going to play here at the end. Would you mind telling us a little bit about that?
See, I sent you Fast Winded Goodbye, right? That's my...
I meant to check before we did this.
I did. I sent you Fast Winded Goodbye.
Okay. You sent me Fast Winded Goodbye. Tell mm-hmm. us about that.
That's on my second CD, Out of the Nest, which was a very big success, very expensive CD. I did record that with a producer and the guitar player in Nashville with session players. And then came back to Columbus and finished it up here at John Schwab Recording Studios here in Columbus. And that was an awesome experience. And it is a wonderful CD.
Yeah.
And it still is.
Yeah.
And even though I put it out in 1999.
Oh, wow.
It's still a fabulous
That's awesome.
Listen.
I love it when a CD can stand the test of time like that.
Yes.
And still you put it in and it keeps rotation in your car or something like that. Because,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So Fast Winded Goodbye is a song that I wrote. I used to ride horses a lot.
Oh, okay.
And I used to go out to my friend's farm, and I just remember one day just, you know, saddling up that horse and just, you know, just that freedom of being able to take off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, I think the song speaks for itself, and I think songs should speak for themselves.
Yeah.
You know,
I think they often do.
Yeah.
Well, Donna, thank you very much for sitting down with me and telling us about you and about your music.
Well, thank you, Sarah Cooper Writer, for having me first. I hope that maybe you learned something, you know, since
absolutely,
it's your first interview.
Absolutely.
It's always, there's always a learning curve, and thank you, Lesbian Radio, for
absolutely,
you know, getting this stuff out.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're going to be having a lot more lesbian artists and various individuals both here from Columbus and all over the United States and UK, wherever we can get some folks out here.
We're everywhere.
We're everywhere. We're coming for you. So we're gonna wrap up the interview here, and we're gonna go ahead and put on the song. What was it again, Donna?
The song is called Fast Winded Goodbye.
Fast Winded Sin.
Bye.
Goodbye by Donna McGavro. Thank you, Donna.
Thank you.